Today's daf is Brachos daf Mem Dalid. Did we get down to the end of the page? I don't remember where we got to. No, we did not. Okay, we were going through the six things that Talmidei Chachamim have to be makbid about. So we said that there are six things, but then the Gemara listed off six plus an additional two to make for eight. So we started going through the list and what the reason was for each of the items. So we said the first thing was that a person should not go out, a Talmid Chacham should not go out when he is mevusam, when he's wearing something that smells out into the shuk. So the Gemara explained because it's people are going to be choshed him from mishkav zachar, but that's only if it's on his beged. It's not if it's on his skin. If it's on his skin, then the sweat will neutralize whatever the smell is. And not only that, when it comes to his hair, the hair has a din of a beged. The hair doesn't have a din of a guf. Then we mentioned that he shouldn't go out alone at night, and the reason he shouldn't go out alone at night is because of chashad. People are going to think he's up to things that are no good. But we said that's only if lo kaviyah le'idna. That's if he doesn't have a set shear that he goes to every night. But kaviyah le'idna, everyone will know about that set shear, and therefore it's no problem for him to go out alone at night. I think we're up to the third one, which is on the third wide line toward the end of the line. The al yetsa on again mem gimlam bay's third wide line. The al yetsa b'mina'alim hametulaim. He shouldn't go out with patched shoes. Misayele l'Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. D'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. That it's considered a genai for a Talmud Chacham to go out with patches on his shoes. So any frakti gemara v'har Rabbi Chiya bar Abba nafik. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba used to go out with patches on his shoes. So Amar Zot Shabrei Rav Nachum b'tlay al gabei tlay. When there are patches on top of patches, that makes it even worse. V'lo amran ella b'pansa aval b'gil de leslan ba. That's only on the top of the feet, but if it's in the heel, then it's not a problem. V'pansa lo amran ella b'urcha aval b'beisel leslan ba. And even that's only a problem when he's going out into the road, but when he's in his house, it's no problem. V'raman ella b'yimosacham av miosagishamim leslan ba. It's also only a problem during the summertime. The wintertime is no problem. So that was Hanhaga number three. Now just going back to Hanhaga number two for a second, going out Yechidi Balayla, there's a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Aleph, that tells us, Ve'yaveik ishi mo adalos ha-shachar, mikan l'tamu chachm sh'yitza Yechidi Balayla, that Yaakov Avinu had this fight with the Malach of Esav. So from there we see, Tamu chachm shouldn't go out alone at night. So Rashi explains, Shari Yaakov Yatzav Ahuzak, because Yaakov went out alone, and he was hurt by it. So why do we need two separate Yisurim for Tamidei Chacham? One mitzad sakana, like the Gemara in Chulin has, and the other mitzad chashada, like our Gemara. Our Gemara says clearly it's an issue of chashad. So it's difficult to say that the nafkamina is if you go out im avuka, together with a torch, because as we said yesterday, that the torch counts like you have company, because then you don't have to worry about mazikin, but you would still have to worry about chashad. Probably you don't have to worry about chashad if you have a torch. Meaning, just like it helps for mazikin, the whole point of chashad is that you're sneaking around. If you're bringing a torch, then you're not sneaking around. Everyone will be able to see you, so then probably wouldn't be so much of a chashad. So Rabbi Yashar suggests that klapei the chashash sakana, there's a Gemara Maseches Pesachim of Chesam and Beis. Bo minei de Rav, hani b'nei Rav de dairi bebaga, ma'u lemesi kadama v'chashucha. So amalu nesi alai v'al tzavari, that the Rabbanon who live far away, are they allowed to come very, very early and leave very late, meaning where they're going to be walking around, walking at night to go to and from the yeshiva? So he said, let them do it, it will be on my neck. The fact that they're going to do that will be on my shoulders. So Rashi said that they had to leave the base Rabbah, and they had to leave the Rebbe's house very early and very late, before Amud HaShachar, and then late after it got dark. So do they have to worry about Mazikin? So he said, don't worry, they're not going to get damaged, because Shluchei Mitzvah and Nizakin, the Shluchei Mitzvah, it's not a problem. But Klapei Chashad, the Gemara says, Kaviya Le'idna Meidi Yadi, that when someone has a set shear, everyone knows that's where he's going. That's only once it's ready meforsim that he has a kavius. But originally, before anyone knows that he has a kavius, there's still going to be a chashad. So the issue of chashad would still apply. But mazikin, because shulchan mitzvah, at that point would not apply. The chashad, however, may only apply to talmidei chachamim, where other people are going to be jealous of them, they're going to be motzi laz. The talmideim, like the bnei rav and psachim, may not apply to people who are just going to learn, may only apply to established Talmidei Chachamim. So maybe that's why it says Rav Eliyashiv, we need two reasons. We need a reason Mishum Sakana, because Sakana applies even to Talmidim, not just to the Chachamim. It applies even to Talmidim. But that would help to go for a Dvar Mitzvah. That would save you from the Sakana issue. The reason we need the reason of Chashad is that's an additional issue that applies even for Talmidei Chachamim. And that doesn't, but that's an additional issue that a Talmud Chacham would have, one of Chashad that the Talmidim would not have. But for that Isser, it won't help to go out for a Dvar Mitzvah. It would only help if you have a Kavua, a well-known Kavua Seder that everyone knows that that's what you're going to. Another point that Rav Eliyashiv makes is that we talk about the shoes of a Talmud Chacham. So one of the things we mentioned, I think, the other day is a discussion in the Achronim, do shoes count like Begadim? Are shoes and Begadim the same thing? So there is a halacha. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos tells us Kufya Dalet Amud Aleph. Also, the Talmud Chacham sheimatzi revav al bigdo, that a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to walk out with a stain on his beged. Apparently, says Rav Eliyashiv, the beged is something we're makbid on much more than the shoes. When it comes to the shoes, it just can't be patched in a certain place, in certain contexts. When it comes to the beged, can't even have a stain on it, apparently, because beged is something that that people see much more than they see the shoes, or it could be that shoes don't have a regular din of beged. The fourth hanhaga, Val Yisaper, back in the Gemara, Val Yisaper Ramisha Bashok, he shouldn't talk with a woman publicly. Amar Rav Chisav Afilu Hi Ishto, even if it happens to be his wife. Tani Nami Yachi Afilu Hi Ishto, Afilu Hi Bito, Afilu Hi Achoso, Lefi She'en HaKol Bekiin B'Krovosav. Not everybody knows who his relatives are, and therefore he should be careful not to be Misaper, not to speak with a woman publicly. So again, Rav Eliyashiv points out, difficult that we are not, even Talmidei Chacham, are not makbid about this at all. So maybe it's based on what the Gemara says in Bab Basra, Dafn and Zayin and Beis, Chaluk Shal Talmud Chacham, Vitalish Shal Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says that Kolam Ezga, Vitalish Shal Talmud Chacham, Meinu Talmud Chacham, Ein Machnis Nosa B'Mechitzas Shal Kavosh Baruch Hu. Someone who dresses with a talis of a Talmud Chacham, but isn't a Talmud Chacham, they're not going to be machnis him to the Mechitzas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So apparently Talmidei Chacham used to walk around wearing special beged, that it was very recognizable that a person was a Talmud Chacham. So then B'Yimei Chazal, if you see someone wearing a Chaluk Shal Talmud Chacham, everyone knew that he was a Talmud Chacham, and when he was Misaper in Misha Bashuk, they saw that he was a Talmud Chacham, and he was speaking with some woman. So, but not everyone knew who his Krovim were, so they didn't know who the woman was. Nowadays, no one knows who a Talmud Chacham is to begin with, so maybe the whole Isser falls away since we don't know who a Talmud Chacham is to begin with. There was one very sharp Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael who used to wear a short jacket. He didn't wear the long frock, and they said to him that such a chashva Talmud Chacham, why do you wear a short jacket? He said, it says that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't dress like all the other Amaratzim, and all the other Amaratzim here wear the long coat, so I decided to wear the short jacket. Okay, so the point is that people could dress a certain dress, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. So the fifth hanhaga, Va'al Yesev B'Chabura Shalamei Aretz, the Talmud Chacham shouldn't sit together in a Chabura with Amaratzim. My Taima, Dilma Asilam Shukhi Basraya. We don't want him to end up to be like an Am Aretz, so he shouldn't hang out with the Amaratzim. Sixth hanhaga, Va'al Yikani Sachron L'Beis HaMedrash Mishum Dekaru Le'Poshaya. He shouldn't be the last one to come into the Beis Medrash because they're going to call him Poshaya. How could he be so late to the Beis Medrash? And then we added two more hanhagos. The Yeshomim Aflo Yafsia Psia Gasa. Domar Psia Gasa and tell us Echad mi Tavkuf mi Ma'or Einav Shel Adam. He shouldn't take a Psia Gasa. He shouldn't take very large steps because now we did say on the Vavam and Beis that it's Mutal of So Psia Gasa to run to the Beis HaKnesses Vafilu B'Shabbes. Okay, that's to run to the Beis HaKnesses. But typically speaking, Talmud Chacham is not supposed to take a Psia Gasa. The Psia Gasa is assumed to remove 1/500th of his eyesight. Tosfos Maseches Tainis raises the kasha. So then, people who have taken 500 psiyot gasos should be blind. So the question is how you do the math. Is it 1/500th of what you began with, or 1/500th of what you're left with? Okay. So Maita Kante. So how do you fix the problem if you took a psiyot gasa? The Hadre B'Kedusha Debei Shimshi. You get it back by the kedusha of Ben Hashemash. You drink of Kol Shel Kiddush on Friday night Kiddush. You drink from Kol Shel Kiddush, and that will bring you back the whatever you lost with the Psia Gasa. This one is a little bit difficult. Why is it Dafka Tamid Chachamim that have to be careful about this? Meaning Lechora, if you're going to lose 1/500th of your eyesight, even if you're not a Talmud Chacham, you don't want to lose it. Maybe the Gemara says, you know what, if you're not a Talmud Chacham, whatever you're looking at, maybe it won't be so bad if you lose 1/500th of your eyesight. But what the Talmud Chacham is looking at, all of his Torah, all of his Svarim, maybe it's better that for him it's very important to keep that eyesight. So the eighth Hanhag of Ali Halich Bekoma Zukufa shouldn't walk with a Koma Zukufa in an arrogant way. The Amar Mara, Mahalich Bekoma Zukufa, Afilu Arba Amos Kilu Dochek Ragle Shechina, Duchsiv Mlokala Aretz Kvaldo. It's as if he's pushing away the Ragle Shechina, the legs of the Shechina, because the Pasuk says Mlokala Aretz Kvaldo, that the whole world is supposed to be filled with the cover of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he's making sure that there's room for his own cover, so then there's not going to be room for the cover of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's trying to be Dochek HaKadosh Baruch Hu from this world. Okay, that finishes yesterday's daf. So now we're on Mendal and Meralf at the top at the Mishnah. If they bring some salted foods to the table and they bring bread with it, he would make a bracha on the salted foods and that would exempt the pas. Here we have something that bread is considered a tafel. The maliach is considered the ikr. You have an ikr and a tafel, you make a bracha only on the ikr, and in this case, the maliach is considered to be the ikr. There is a major discussion in the Achronim. What if you eat the ikr after you eat the tafel? I mean, you eat the tafel first, then you can eat the ikr. So do you make the bracha on the tafel then? Because you're eating it before you've eaten the ikr. So when you eat the tafel before the ikr, l'chora you should have to make a bracha on it because it's also the hanas mel mazab lo bracha, right? There's a violation of getting hana from this world without a bracha. Now there is a major machlokas achronim as to how the mechanics of ikr and tafel work. The Chazon Ish in Simon Chav Zayin Os Tes and the Emek Bracha and Birch Sanen and Os Hay write that it's the tafel is also chayiv in a bracha. It's just that it's potter with the bracha that you make on the ikr. However, the Avnei Nezer and Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe Archaim Chelik Dalos and Membeis write that the tafel does not require a bracha at all. It's not that it becomes potter with the bracha that you make on the ikr. It simply doesn't require a bracha at all. That when there's an ikr and a tafel, the tafel becomes so secondary that it's not even considered a chashva hana that's going to even require a bracha, that you're not going to be able to get hana from this world without a bracha. So that keeping that in mind, let's approach the sugya of ikr and tafel. This idea of this machlokas of whether you still view it as two foods, it's just that one bracha will pata, the other you view it as one food, and therefore the tafel doesn't even require its own bracha because it's all viewed as one food. So says the Gemara, Umika midi dav maliach ikur pas tefela. Is there such a metzias? There's something that's tafel to bread?
Yeah,
we're talking about a case where someone ate peros kinosar. So Rashi says, what does that mean? You want another example of something that's more chashuv than bread? I'm not sure what this maliach is, but peros kinosar, that's something that's more chashuv than bread. Meaning, or that Rashi, it's unclear Rashi, he just says, or it could be that he's saying that the maliach refers to peros kinosar. It's unclear though why they would call peros kinosar maliach. But Rashi says peros eretz yam kineret chashuv min apas. They're more chashuv than bread. Tosfos understood entirely differently. If you look at the top Tosfos, shamaliach ikur shu ba lahashuv halev shenechlash mipnei metikas haperos. That the way it would work is you would eat these peros kinosar. They were so sweet it would cause you to be weakened a little bit. And you would need to eat a salty food to counter the sweetness of the peros kinosar. And then once you ate the salty food, you would need some bread because the salty food was so salty. So vapashalach rav tafel veno bal b'shil maliach. So then you're only eating the bread to counteract the salty food. And that's why the maliach is the ikr and the bread is the tafel. But Frank tells us, wait a second, what's the real ikr in that scenario? You're having peros kinosar, that's what you're really having. It's so sweet that it causes you to have a little bit of salty food, which is so salty that causes you to have a little bread. Shouldn't the peros kinosar be the ikr, not the maliach? Vim tomer peros have the ikr, maliach tafel. V'livr chala peros, v'livtar kulu. You should make the bracha only on the peros. V'yishlomer de mairi shalach al peres bosom maimid, inami b'sha shalach al peres kinosa lo hayisham adayin maliyach upas, t'lo yodea shiach lashlibo machmas hametikus. It could be that at the time that you ate the peros, you didn't know that you were going to eat anything else, because you didn't realize just how devastating an effect the peros kinosa were going to have on you. So that's why you yadavka make the bracha on the maliach. The Marsha writes that based on this tosos, shenechlash mivnei metikus haperos, he says that's what the meraglim were mislonin about. The peros kinoser is what they brought back, and he said, look how weak this fruit. It's so delicious. It weakens us. Amar Rabba Bar Brachana, back in the Gemara Kiyava Azlinim, Basrei de Rabbi Yochanan the Mechel Peres Kinosar, when we used to follow Rabbi Yochanan T. Peres Kinosar, Kiyavinim, Beimea Minakatinon Lei, Lekol Chad V'chad Asar Asara. When we were 100 people, we would each get 10 of the Peres Kinosar. V'chiyavinim, Bei Asara Minakatinon Lei, Kol Chad V'chad Mea Mea. When we were 10 people, we would each get 100. V'kol Mea Minayim Av Machzik Lutzon Abar Tlasa Savi, Sawi, and each of us would carry a basket of that had 3 saws worth of Peros, and we read from it, and we would swear afterwards that we didn't even have any food. I mean, we'd have such a massive amount of food, such a massive amount of these peros, but they were so delicious, it's like it didn't fill you up. It's like you didn't eat anything. So Ziyuna Salkadai, really, as if you didn't have any food. No, but it means as you felt like you weren't nourished at all. Rabbi Avo Achla Dahava Sarik Le Dudva Meafuse. Rabbi Avo would eat the peros kinosar until his skin became so shiny then slippery that a fly would slip off of his face. A fly can walk upside down and up a wall, right? Could stick to things very well, but would slip off of his face because of the oils that would come out of his face from eating the peros kinosar. They would eat until their hair literally started falling out. Rabbi Shimon Lakish would eat until he went crazy, until his daito mitaref, as Rashi says, till he went out of his mind. That he sent groups of people to bring it to his house. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar Irach Asaisla Yanai Melech Bar Melech. Yanai Melech had a certain city in Har Melech. Shoyu Mitzim Imena Shishim Ribo Safali Taris Lekot Seiteinim Meir Shabbos Lev Shabbos. They would pull out from that city. They would take Shishim Ribo 600,000 baskets full of Taris. What's Taris? So Rashi tells us Safali Melem Chatichus Dag Chatuch Shekorim Tunina. These small fish that they would put in these little cans that they would call tuna. So these they would have to take 600,000 things of tuna fish or tunina fish in order just to feed the people who were cutting the figs each week. That's how many figs they had. That was just to provide the snacks for the workers who were cutting the figs. There was one tree that they would take out 40 saw of gozlos, of birds, from 3 different dovecotes, 3 different bird nests every single b'chodesh, every single month. There was a certain city in Eretz Yisrael called Gufnis. That had 80 Kohanim brothers that were married to 80 Kohanim sisters, but meaning there were 80 pairs of Kohanim brothers married to 80 pairs of Kohanim sisters. So it was brothers, sisters, it was 80 different families where two brothers married two sisters, and both of the two brothers were Kohanim and the two sisters were Kohanim. So everyone asked the Kasha, Ayat Tzavod Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says that two brothers shouldn't marry two sisters. It's part of the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. One of the things he suggests not to do is not to have two brothers marry two sisters. So this isn't the only thing in Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid that's against the Gemara. Many of the Hanhagos Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid recommended happen to be directly against the Gemara. So that's the famous Tshuva, the Nedib Yehuda and Eben Ezra Tinyana Simenayin Tes. He says if anyone else would have written the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid other than Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, we just would have completely disowned him from Judaism, and we would have said the person is being cholik al hashas, you're not allowed to be cholik on the Gemara. Elamai, what you have to say is Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was speaking for his own family. He wasn't speaking for the masses, and this was something that certain qualities that he saw in his family that would be damaging to his family in particular, but aren't necessarily bad for anybody else. In the Sefer of Rav Eliyashiv Shiurim, they asked him about Savas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. It says, Heshev Rabbeinu Shlita, Shonu Kan Sheyesh Zuchus HaKuhuna Mibes Tzadin. Maybe they didn't have to worry about it because they had the special Zuchus HaKuhuna on both sides, both the husband's and the wife's side. So maybe this isn't the biggest kasha on Savas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Without the Zuchus of Kuhuna, maybe then there's something to worry about. But then in a footnote he writes, Shemati Mir Rabbeinu Shlita, Shein Makpidin Al Tzavazu. Other times Rav Eliyashiv said that we're just simply not makbid about the Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So it depends on the different communities. Some are makbid, some aren't. So Bat Rabban Misura V'ad Narda. So then the Rabban checked from Surah until Narda to see if there's any other town that has like this, where 80 sets of siblings, married to 80 sets of siblings, all Kohanim, V'lo Ashkhu Barmi Binte Rav Chista Davon Sivan L'Rami Bar Chama L'Mar Ukva Bar Chama. The closest thing they found is that the daughters of Rav Chista were married to the two brothers, Rami Bar Chama and Mar Ukva Bar Chama. Not only was it only one set, but they weren't even Kohanim on both sides. Even though the girls were from a family of Kohanim, the boys were not from a family of Kohanim. Amarav kol su'udah shein b'melech ein su'udah. Any su'udah that does not have salt is not considered a su'udah. Amarav b'chia barabah, amarav b'yochanan. Kol su'udah shein b'sarif ein su'udah. Any su'udah that doesn't have soup is not considered a su'udah. Okay, next Mishnah. Achla nav mutainim v'rimonim. Person eats grapes and figs and pomegranates. Some mevarich acharayim shalosh brachos divrei Gamliel. Gamliel says you bench on it, full benching. V'chomrom bracha achas chom say no, you make a bracha achas mein shalosh. You make an alamichya, an aleitz. Rabbi Akiva Amar afilu achol shlak vu mezonu mevarich lev gimel brachos. You could eat anything if it's even a vegetable, a cooked vegetable. But if that's your mazon, if that's your meal, then you bench. Person drinks water because he's thirsty, makes a bracha of shakol. Rabbi Tarfon Omer bar nefashos, rabos v'chasronan. So Rabbi Tarfon says, no, you make a bar nefashos. Sounds like he's saying the bracha rishona should be a bar nefashos. So it says in our first, my time in the Rav Gamliel. Why does Rav Gamliel think that you bench when you eat anavim te'enim v'rimonim? Tichsiv, eretz chito sa'ar v'gomer. Tichsiv, eretz ha'shalob meskenos tochob alechem. Tichsiv, v'yachaltav zvat v'raksa shem alkecha. All in proximity to each other. We talk about Eretz Chita Soro, all the different Zayin Minim. Eretz Asher Lob Meskenes Tochob Alechem. We talk about bread, and we Achalta V'Svat V'Rach Shem Elkech, the mitzvah of benching. So you see that the mitzvah of benching applies when you eat all those different types of foods. V'Rabbanon, Eretz Hivsikainyan. The Rabbanon would respond, no, the word Eretz stops it, puts a pause in the middle of the pasuk, so that you can know that the benching is only going on the lechem, it's not going on all the Zayin Minim. Rav Gamliel, Nami Eretz Hivsika Inyan. Aye, what's Rav Gamliel going to say about that? Isn't Eretz Mafsik, and doesn't that tell you that it shouldn't go back, that the phrase V'yachalta V'savata Uve Rachta should not go back all the way on the Zayin Minim? So Mibayile Lemutek Kosis Sachita. No, he uses Eretz to the Hivsika Inyan to teach us that hafsaka, to teach us that if you chew on wheat as is, without processing it and turning it into flour, that's not bechlal bracha. You have to dafka make it into bread in order to be chayiv birchas hamazon on it. Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Yidi, Amar Rabbi Chini, Nekol shu mechamish tzabidim b'tchilim varech lebar minim mezonos, ulbsof bracha achas mein shalosh. Anything that's made from the chamish minim needs a mezonos and nal mechia. Amar Rabbi Bar Mari, Amar Rabbi Shobin Levi, Kol shu mechivis haminim b'tchilim varech bar priya eitz, ulbsof bracha achas mein shalosh. Anything that's from the shivas aminim, you make a bar priya eitz, but then you make a bracha achas mein shalosh and al eitz val priya eitz at the end. That's your bracha achrona. Amalei abai l'rabdimi, mind you, bracha achas mein shalosh. What is the text of this bracha achas mein shalosh? Amalei a period of eitz. When you make on peros, the bracha achas mein shalosh goes as follows: al eitz val priya eitz val tmilus asad val eretz chem de tov rechavish and chal tolav senu lechol me priya val espa mituva rachem hashem elokeinu al yisrael amach val yishlayim yirecha val miktashecha val mizbechecha v'yativni yishlayim yirkachecha meher v'yameinu val leinu l'socha v'samcheinu ba ki ata tov meitav akal. The chamesh saminim, when you're making the bracha on chamesh saminim, al ha-michi v'al kalkola v'al tenu v'sasada v'chosim al ha-aretz v'al ha-michi, and then you chosim with al ha-aretz v'al ha-michi. That is the text. So the achronim in the back of the Gemara already talk about al eretz chem de tovur chava shein chalta lavoseinu. Right, it's part of the text of the Alamichya. So who is this that talks about it? So the Meloa Royim says, Kashali, Lamalo Tiknu Bris Vitara Bibrachazu. What about Bris? What about Torah? How come it doesn't make it into the Gemara's text of the Bracha? The Gemara is going to say later on, Koshalomar Bris Vitara Bibir Samazon, La Yatsi De Chavaso. And one is not Yotzi Bhiv and Birch Samazon without Bris Vitara. Sounds like Minat Torah, not Yotzi Bhiv. So when the Chacham are Misakin and Brachamein Shalosh, they should have been Misakin the Brachamein Shalosh that mimics the original Birch Samazon. So he says, Matzas. Mordechai b'shem Aviyazri lomar bris v'toras chayim, to mention bris and toras chayim. So that's the discussion about altering the nusach as we have it in the Gemara. So says Gemara b'may chasim. How should one be chosim this bracha? So kiyas ravdimi amrav chasim b'rosh chodesh baruch mekadosh shel rosh chodashim. By rosh chodesh we make a chasima where we mention rosh chodesh. So achamai by alamichya what ala eitz do you are we chosim betarti? I mean the point is generally chasima only gets one theme in the end of the bracha. So when you're finishing up with Allah eats, when you ate when it's Allah Aretz v'Allah Peros, is that considered chasima b'shtayim? And should you do the double chasima? Rav Chisda Amar Allah Aretz v'Al Peros Seha. You should mention Allah Aretz and its Peros. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Allah Aretz v'Al Ha Peros. Rabbi Yochanan says Allah Aretz v'Al Ha Peros, not v'Al Peros Seha. Amr v'Amram v'Lo Pligi. That's not really a machlokas. Halan v'Halahu. It depends who's talking. Rav Chis was from Bavel. In Bavel, there would be Chosim al Aretz v'al Peros Seha. It's Peros, because we're speaking from afar, from a great distance, that, yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, the Peros of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan is from Eretz Yisrael, so they would say al Aretz v'al Peros, the Peros of the land that they're reading from right now. Masr of Nachum Yitzchak, Inu Achli v'anan Mevarchin. So Nachum Yitzchak says, wait a second, they're eating and we make a bracha, meaning Al Peros Seha is going on Eretz Yisrael alone, and we don't eat from the Peros of Eretz Yisrael, yet we're going to make a bracha about the Peros of Eretz Yisrael from Bavel. Why would we make a bracha about the Peros of Eretz Yisrael when we're eating in Bavel? Ela Epoch, Rav Chisda Amar Ala Aretz V'Ala Peros, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ala Aretz V'Al Peros Seha. So you have to switch it around. Rav Chisda is one that said, Allah Aretz v'al haperos. Rav Chisda in Bavel, Allah Aretz v'al haperos. Rabbi Yochanan says Allah Aretz v'al peros seha, meaning the Rav Chisda from Bavel saying, I'm making a bracha about the land and about fruits. The fruits are not from the land. I ate fruits that were from a different land, that were from Bavel. The Eretz Yisrael Dikiyid says, my bracha is Allah Aretz v'al peros seha, and the fruits of the land. Okay, Amr Rav Yisrael Bar Avdimi, on top of Amin Beis now. Amr Rav Yisrael Bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu, Al Habeya Val Mine Kufra, B'tchilim Varek Sha'akal, B'sof Barin Fashos Arbos, Avul Yarka Lo, that if a person eats eggs or meat, so you should make a Sha'akal and Barin Fashos at the end, but none of vegetables. What do you mean none of vegetables? Says Rashi, we quoted this Gemara a while ago, Avul Yarka Lo Tzarech Levruch Echra, that you don't need a Bruch Achrona at all, apparently, according to this opinion, when you eat vegetables. Rav Yitzchak Amar Afilu Yarka, no, that even for vegetables, a person does require a bracha achrona, but avol mayalo, but not for water. Water doesn't require a bracha achrona. Rav Papa Amar Afilu Maya, that even water should require a bracha achrona. Marzutra avit Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Marzutra did like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, who said, no bracha achrona on vegetables. Rav Simi Barashi avit Rav Yitzchak. Rav Simi Barashi did like Rav Yitzchak, who said, yes, bracha achrona on Yerek, just not on Mayim. V'simanech chad kitreu trei kechad. The easy way to remember who did like who is that Marzutra did like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, the double name, and Rav Simi Bar Ashi, the double name, did like Rav Yitzchak, the single name. Amar Rav Ashi, Ana Zimna Dechimat Karna Avidna Kukulu. Very difficult to understand line. He says, when I remember, I try to do like everybody, to make a bracha on as many things as possible. I try to do even like Rav Papa, who said that even on water, you should make a bracha. It's a through a machlokas. So I try to fulfill even the opinion of Rav Papa when I remember. What does it mean when I remember? I'm not sure. I don't know how to make sense of that. Tanan. Kol shetan bracha la'achrav, tan bracha lefanav. Anything that requires a bracha achrona also requires a bracha rishona. V'yesh shetan bracha lefanav, ve'in tan bracha la'achrav. Some things require a bracha rishona, do not require a bracha achrona. So bishlam l'ravitza parabdimi la'fuke yarka, I understand very well according to Ravitza parabdimi, it's coming to tell me not like Yerek, not to make a bracha achrona in Yerek. Rav Yitzchak lafuke maya, and I understand according that Rav Yitzchak, this mishnah is coming to tell me lafuke water. El Rav Papa lafuke maya, but according to Rav Papa, that even water gets a bracha achrona. So how can we say that there are certain things that require bracha rishona and no bracha achrona? Even water gets a bracha achrona. So what doesn't require a bracha achrona? Lafuke mitzvos. The thing that doesn't require bracha achrona is a mitzvah. Person does mitzvahs, you only make a bracha before the mitzvah, not after the mitzvah. This can be put on the list of the strange comparisons between birchas mitzvos and birchas hananin. That's where the Rambam probably gets his formulation, that kishem shemavarchim, the Rambam says, just like we have to make a bracha before we eat anything, so too, we have to make a bracha on every single mitzvah. That's what Salvation explained, that the two are thematically linked. That when it comes to a bracha, birchas hananin, we know that the bracha is a matir. That's all the gemaras that we had. We have an iser, then the bracha is matir the iser. And that's the same thing with birchas mitzvos. That the birchas mitzvah is the matir to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who do we think we are? That we're going to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any way. You need a matir to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the birchas mitzvah, the chacham mur mesakein as the matir. So that's why it makes sense that in the context of a mishnah, of birchas hananin, so we're going to mention birchas mitzvos also. So tell me that mitzvos only require the bracha rishona, because that's the matir. It doesn't make sense to have a matir afterwards. What about the people from Eretz Yisrael that have the minag that when they take off their tefillin, they make a bracha as a bracha achrona on a mitzvah? So then what? Then what's the thing that requires a bracha rishon and no bracha achrona? Lafukei rechani, smells. We spoke about birch sareach. Birch sareach are always a bracha rishona. It's never a bracha achrona on birch sareach. Rashi Mesachs Nida writes that the reason it doesn't get a bracha achrona is that Hanoa Muetas hi. Magen Avraham in Reish Tazayin says that once the reach is nifsak, the bracha comes. So as opposed to by achila, it's not nifsak. Meaning, when would you make the bracha achrona? There's no reach anymore. You're not smelling anything anymore. As opposed to the achila, your body is still digesting the food. It's still betoch meyav, and that's why food would still get a bracha achrona. But how would that explain mitzvos? Then why would mitzvos yes get a bracha achrona, birchas hareach not get it? Well, we pass on the mitzvos don't get a bracha achrona. But maybe one could argue, just as your body is still digesting the food and gaining from the food, from a mitzvah, right after you do the mitzvah, you're on the spiritual high of the mitzvah, so you're benefiting still from the mitzvah. So that's lafukei reichani. There's also Mordechai from B'Shem Ravya, the Cheshek Shlomo quotes over here, Mordechai B'Shem Ravya, that he would make a bracha after mitzvahs also. We obviously don't pass in that way. But as a remnant of this, the Beis Yosef and Simon Chaf Hei Sifid Gimel quotes at Yesh Omrim that when they take off the tefillin, they dafka time it that they should take off their tefillin when they say Yiros Amufnecha Shnishmar Chukecho Mitzvosecha, and they said to as a zecher to the Bnei Marava. And the Beis Yosef says, but that's not the proper minhag. We don't do that. We don't make a bracha achrona when we take off our tefillin. But apparently there was such a minhag. Tosfos already points out Vanan Lo Avdinan Kibnei Marava. It's dafka because they took off their tefillin at night when the whole day was over. Because the pasuk says, so that's why at night time made sense to say a bracha of lishmar chukav. We take off our tefillin, Tosfos says, b'chatzi ayom! Halfway through the day we take off our tefillin. We take off our tefillin way earlier before halfway through the day. So then we don't make a bracha of lishmar chukav. Amar b'yani amarav. Kol shu kebeitza beitza tov menu. Any food that you can eat that's the size of an egg, you're better off eating an egg. An egg is better than anything else that's the size of an egg. Kiyasa ravin amar tova be'asa migulgalta. Mishisa kaisi sulta. One hard-boiled egg is better than shisa kaisi sulta, than six things of flour. Kiyasrav dimi amar tava beyasum gulgalta mishisa. Metvisa me arba. If it's a hard-boiled egg, beitzel gulgalta, I guess, like an egg that rolls. But metvisa, a hard-boiled egg, is better than four. Muvushalta, a cooked egg, kol shuka beitza, beitza tova emenu levarmi bistra. Anything else that's the size of an egg would be better than it, except for meat. Rabbi Kiva amar afilu kol shlak. Rabbi Kiva says, even if a person ate cooked vegetables, if that's your mezonos, then that's what you bench on. Umiyika midi dav shlak mezoni, is there such a thing that a cooked vegetable is going to be a person's entire meal? So mervashi beklak shal karav shanu. Now we're talking about the stalks of karav. So that's considered to be something that gives a lot of sustenance. Tan rabbanan, tachul yafal ishinayim v'kashal bnei me'ayim. If you eat the spleen of an animal, it's good for your teeth, bad for your stomach. Creation leaks, kashal nishinayim v'yafal bnei me'ayim, have the opposite effect. They're bad for your teeth, good for your stomach. Kol yerek chai morik v'kol katan maktin. Any yerek chai, any raw vegetable, morik is going to cause a certain greenness, and anything small will make small. V'kol nefesh meshiv es nefesh, and anything from around the nefesh will sustain the nefesh. V'kol karv l'nefesh meshiv es nefesh, anything that's close to the nefesh will sustain the nefesh. Kol nefesh was about anything that was alive. Now we're saying kol karv l'nefesh will be meshiv nefesh. Karv l'mazon v'tardin l'refuah. Some more health advice. What's good for Muslim, what's good for Rafua, and woe unto a house that turnips pass through that house. So we just said that the spleen is good for the teeth, bad for the stomach. So Maita Kante, how do you fix your stomach if you ate spleen of an animal? So Nila Sevenishti, another way you should do it is you should chew it and throw it out. Kreachin Kashan Lishinaim Vyaflim Remaim. Maita Kante, how do you make it okay for the teeth? So the Shalkinavan of the Inu, you should cook it really well and swallow it. Kol yerechai, meaning so it's soft, you'll be able to swallow, you don't have to chew on it too much, I guess. Kol yerechai morik, amar vitzak besud rishona shalachra kaza. That's only talking about the first meal after akaza's dam, where you have to be very careful what you eat. It's going to take away some of your complexion, some of the color from a person's face. That's what it means, face turns green. Vamar vitzak, kol ochel yerech, kol demar bashos, asol sapri menu. Anyone who eats vegetables before breakfast time, before the first 4 hours of the day, during breakfast time, it's asur to speak to him, because he's going to have a terrible breath, I guess. My time is from Recha. He's going to have terrible breath. It's also for a person to eat raw vegetables before 4 hours into the day. They were all sitting around. They brought them Yerechai before 4 hours into the day. Ravashi ate from it. Marzucha did not. What are you worried about? You're worried about the fact that the Chazal say that you're not allowed to eat Yerek in the first 4 hours. They all say you're not allowed to talk to someone who doesn't. We've been eating from it, and you're talking to us the whole time. I hold like the other sheet of Rav Yitzchak. Then not that it's only us to talk to someone who's eating Yerek Chai. I don't hold like that. I hold it's us to eat Yerek Chai, but to talk to someone, that's okay. It's not going to affect me so much. Kol katan maktin. So he said anything katan is maktin. So meaning anything that didn't grow to its full growth is going to cause katnos. Amrav chista afilu gadya barzuza. Even a gadi that's barzuza will cause katnos in some level. V'ramanel lespe riva avlispe riva leslanba. That's only if it's lespe riva. I'm not sure what does that mean. That it doesn't. The Rashi said, "Thus, by river shalot gadol ad revius shalot didn't grow to one fourth of its growth." You go and tle revius shal ayil gidi kedei revius shal sayir gadol v'chein kol davar. Okay, kol nefesh meshiv nefesh. What was that about? Amar Papa afil glidni de begili. Even the glidni de begili. Rashi says the small fish are very tiny fish, and you can find them amongst the reeds in the swamps, and it normally doesn't grow too big. But a dag katan that comes from a min that's supposed to be big and never grew, so to the one quarter of its growth, that would be in the category of katan maktin. So this is nefesh meshivas a nefesh. Kol karv l'nefesh meshivas a nefesh. What was that about? Amar vacha bar Yaakov unka. That's the meat around the neck of the animal, right near where the animal is shechted. So that's karv l'nefesh. That's meshivas a nefesh. That's considered to be particularly good for a person. Amle rav l'shame ki maisis li umtsa debisra tarach vaisli mehechad mikv l'bei baruch. He said, when you bring me a piece of meat, try to bring me from around the neck area where they made the bracha on the shechita. Karv l'mazon v'tardin l'rfua. Karv l'mazon in l'rfua lo. So is karv only good for mazon, not good for rfua? V'atani yashish dvar merapin esachol l'michal yaw rfuas and rfua. There are six things that provide very good rfua. V'eloin Karuv Vitar Dinu Mesis and Dvash Vikiva Veheras Vyoseras Akavev. So bottom line is Karuv was on the list. Elaima Karuv Aflu Mazon, that it will help Mazon in addition to Rufua. Oilo Lubai Shalevas of Eras Pesofa. Woe unto the house that had turnips passed through the house. Aini Vamale Ravel Shami Kichaz Lifta Beshuka Lo Tabli Bimai Karach the Rifta. Didn't he say that when you see turnips, don't ask me what I'm going to want to eat with my meal? You should know, it's obviously turnips. So Amar Abaye Mibli Basa. That's if you don't have meat with it. Vrava Amar Mibli Yayin. If you don't have wine with it, that's when it's bad. But if you have basar and yayin, then it's going to be very good. Itma Rava Amar Mibli Basar Shmuel Mibli Yayin. Rabbi Yochanan Mibli Yayin. Either without meat, without wood to cook it, without wine. Amar Le Rava Rav Papa. Sudni, you beer brewer, Anan Tavrinu Le Bibisra B'chamra. We break it with meat and wine. Atunda Lo Novish Lo Chamra B'may Tavrisla. But if you don't have wine, what do? I mean, you're a beer maker. You don't have wine. So Amar Le Bitsivi with wood. Kiyad Bitsi Rav Papa Basar Nimbashla Tavrila Bitim Nafi Persaisa. That after she would cook it, she would break it down even further with eight chips of wood. Tan Rabban, Dalkat and Maliach Pamishu Humemis Beshiva, Beshiva Asar Ube Esr Meshiva. Sometimes this small salted fish could be Mamis with 7, with 17, or 27. Lamu Besr Meshosh with 23. Vlamran, El Bimatvi Vlamatvi. If it's partially roasted, of Matvi Shapir, less than above. If it's totally roasted, it's no problem. But the Lo Matvi Shapir, Lo Amrel, the Lo Shasa Basre Shikra. And if it's not roasted well, that's only if you didn't drink beer afterwards. Of the Shasa Basre Shikra, less than above. You drank beer afterwards, so even if you drink it on the 7th day since it's Malicha, or the 17th or 27th day, then it's not going to be a problem. No, that's what the numbers were. How many days since the Malicha? Okay, tomorrow we'll start with drinking water. What the halachas are drinking water and bracha achrona on water.